Blog Talk Radio.
Break it down, chant it down, book. 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 Human life in a tight crunch, hypnotized 9-to-5 world. Yep, that's right, the paradigm sucks. Improvise, improvise, force. Break it down, check it out.
Live from the Hawaiian Islands, it's Chant It Down Radio with your host, Lewis, the people beyond.
Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book.
Welcome, everyone, again. Welcome to another episode of Chant It Down Radio. I'm your host, Loomis. I am a true speaker, an activist, and a lyricist, and a lot of things, and I'm here to bring you another live show coming from the Hawaiian Islands. I'm here at now episode 12. I've done a few now already in the short amount of time, and episode 12, we're going to continue to discuss what I call the real skyfall, which is a look at the aerial spraying that takes place above our heads, whether you realize it or not. This is what's going on in our lives, and we are here to flesh it out and make people aware and show you what is going on really here in the world. And so this show, we chant down. We chant down Babylon to the fullest degree. We chant it down to the level it needs to go to understand the life that we live, so then we can take that and continue on with our life and figure out a way out of this. It's a crazy position we're in here on planet Earth right now. These are crazy times, and if you don't think so, and you just kind of are just like thinking, what am I thinking? Well, then I think that you probably haven't been paying attention, and that's how it goes. If you don't pay attention, and you just get stuck in all the little fluff that the system puts out for you, then you will get caught up in it. And it's not that you shouldn't have fun. Well, I always say, you know, have fun and live your life to the fullest, but in times when things are pretty crazy here on planet Earth, we actually need to pay attention. And in order to pay attention, well, you just have to open up and see the bigger world and take it in. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's a real shock on the system. But then after a while, you figure out how to live. And so we just continue on the journey and the path, chanting it down. Like to chant down the system so we can see the truth and let the truth become the triumphant thing, and all the lies and all the fluff just melt away so you can actually see what it is. So today's guest is a special guest, Bob Tuscan. Bob Tuscan is a radio show host. He's an activist, an awake mind, and a true speaker, and he fully chants it down. And I'm having him on today. You may have heard of his show, and I've actually been on his show before, and I just thought I'd have him on and discuss further this issue and anything that comes to mind. Let's see if Bob Tuscan's on the line. Bob Tuscan, you hear me?
Loomis, happy to chant it down with you, brother.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on and chanting it down. Well, are you still there?
I sure am.
Oh, yeah, good. All right. My computer's freezing up. But, okay, there you are. All right. Well, welcome to Chant It Down Radio, Bob Tuscan. Welcome. Thanks for coming on. And just wanted to have you on because I know how you feel about life here on planet Earth, and I know that you chant it down and live your life the same as anybody else I know that chants it down, and we know we're all in the same position. So welcome to the show.
Well, we do what we can despite the odds, and it's scary sometimes when your family members and those closest to you don't get what's going on, and they don't see the grave danger that we're in, and you seem to be the only one in your community at times, and you're saying, hey, the house is on fire, you know, the roof's on fire, and not in a pop culture kind of way, you know. And people around you say, what are you talking about? Everything's fine. Well, no, everything's not fine. Our economy is based on a fraudulent fractional debt-based system. Our world is headed to hell in a handbasket because of eugenicists that think of us as useless leaders. And, well, they're sponsoring false flag terror and poisoning our skies. What do you mean everything's fine? The roof is on fire, literally. And you better get your ass in gear. And when you tell that to people and they say, okay, whatever, and they go and dig their head even deeper in the sand, it makes you feel absolutely frustrated, and you need to seek some sort of salvation in your sanity. And that's why I do my show, and I would imagine you have similar motives in doing what you do, because it's sure. Simply an outlet. It's simply a place for us to vent and to learn.
Correct. Yeah, I use this as a platform to vent, and you know, I don't sometimes even know who I'm speaking to. I mean, I speak to anybody out there who's asleep to fully awake, but I just feel like, you know, can't really contain everything within and just and do nothing. And a radio show for me was a step further in doing so. I felt that music just wasn't effective enough, and it's hard to find time for it, and it's tedious. So I thought maybe another step forward into the activism would be a radio show, and just kind of giving a platform for myself and others to chant it down. That's what we say here, and just fully look at the world and try to help others get on board. You know, there's a lot everybody can do. And I had last guest, or was it the show before, I had Max Egan on, and one of his solutions is that the solution's within everybody. And I thought that, you know, I knew that, but it's like it was a good reminder. It's like, yeah, we all have our little ways that we can reach out to the people and share this kind of knowledge, you know, good, bad, empowering, whatever. But I really feel that it's at a crucial time right now.
It is a crucial time, and it's important that we take all the steps necessary to get the word out and do what we can, because that's not the world we want for our children or our children's children. And we don't want to go down in history being the ones who watched all of this take place and allowed it to happen. And that's exactly why I think so many of us are outraged and seeking some sort of outlet to do something about it. Fukushima remains something that troubles me very deeply, and
correct.
You know, if it wasn't bad enough, they're spraying barium, strontium, which is also a part of the fallout. You know, they find strontium from the nuclear waste and nuclear fallout from Fukushima. If it wasn't bad enough, well, now we have something to compound that even further with an out-of-control disaster. And although it's not being talked about very much by the mainstream media, it's a major factor and a major threat to life as we know it on this planet. And I hate to fearmonger Loomis. I hate to push the doom and gloom, because ultimately I'd like to talk about how we can mitigate our exposure and deal with these poisons in our world today. And you and I had discussed that when you came on my show and presented the wine rinse. Which I thought was a great initiative. And I've seen some things, actually, that have shown that maybe the wine rinse isn't such a great idea. And I'll have to send that to you. I watched a video by Will Spencer the other day. I believe that's his name, Dr. Will Spencer. And he brought up some ideas that the wine rinse might not be very good for us. And I instantly thought of you, Loomis. I said, oh, Loomis, got to check this out. Because, you know, we're truth seekers. If we're wrong, so be it. If something is not a great solution, if we have to correct our thinking, then that's what we should do. That's the art of a good thinker, and that's what's wrong with so many of these darn people today, Loomis. They're not able to correct themselves. They're not able to go back and say, you know what, I was a schmuck. I was wrong. You know what? My thinking was incorrect. I was duped by the powers that shouldn't be, and I'm going to change my thinking appropriately. That's what truth is all about, and I digress. Yeah. But bottom line is, to go a couple steps back here and go into Fukushima a bit further. We're dumping 300 tons of nuclear waste into our oceans on a daily basis. There is no containment in sight. And really, the world is not reacting to this in the way you would think humanity would react if they knew that life was threatened. And what could happen here is something that goes beyond our wildest imaginations. With this nuclear waste being dumped into the oceans, Loomis, this could potentially kill off much of our algae, our beneficial algae in the ocean. And if this is not a scary thought to you yet, let me explain why it ought to be. We talk about our oxygen on this planet coming from the rainforest. Well, it turns out that much of our oxygen on the planet comes from the algae in the oceans. So we have a huge supply of oxygen, which last time I checked, Loomis, is something pretty essential for life, at least human life anyways.
I've heard about that, oxygen.
Yeah, it's something pretty important, you know. So I've been told. And it's this, if this algae is destroyed in our oceans, then I saw anywhere from 20 to 30% of our oxygen supply could be depleted. A huge chunk of it. And if it wasn't bad enough that the powers that shouldn't be have everything else for sale, well, what's next? Air? You know, the whole idea that air is the only thing left that's free? Well, not for long, perhaps, if you can breathe. And oxygen's already a problem in some major cities with the air pollution, especially in China, with what they've coined labeled as airpocalypse. It's a real issue. So the threat to our oceans and then the greater threat to our oxygen supply is extremely scary to anyone paying attention. And it's a real threat, and we've seen contamination levels that come out of the horse's mouth, and I would only imagine that that's only the tip of the iceberg, that show that this is a possibility that we have to live with and our children are going to have to live with if they're not dying from some sort of cancer. And, to digress on a point that I get into often on my show, if they're dying from some sort of cancer, the medical establishment's not going to help them. They'll only poison them with chemo. So we're going to take people dying from cancer, from radiation, possibly, and we're going to radiate them. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Does it make sense to you, Loomis?
No, it's a backwards world out there. It's the health industry isn't really what it is. All these things and different aspects of our society have been usurped and taken a hold of by global elite and turned into what they want for us. And what they want for us is not what we want. But also, as you going back to what you're saying about the whole Fukushima thing, and you got to think, you know, the Earth is all connected, and 2/3 of it is ocean, and so we're destroying our oceans. Our oceans are heavily connected to everything else on the planet, and if we're destroying 2/3 of the Earth just with that alone, I mean, and then add on top of that the aerial spraying that they're spraying on our plants and killing off the organic plants and the natural and controlling the weather and poisoning our bodies and, you know, dirtying up the air further. I mean, I just don't see, if that's not a reason to get up off your ass and do something, I don't know what is. I don't understand what it takes for some people to actually just get up and start freaking out in a positive reaction to all this, not in like a negative reaction, you know, around like, I don't know, go shoot up a bunch of people, you know, some nutcase. I mean, I'm talking about people that, you know, freak out in a good way, so they know, you know, get them to start being active in a way and trying to do something about all this. I just don't understand. Do you ever think about that much? Do you think, man, you know, what does it take for people to actually get up and do at least what we're doing, if not more?
I have an answer to that, and it's an unfortunate one.
I kind of think I know where you're going. Yep. Exactly.
People are going to have to be hungry, literally, physically hungry.
Desperate.
And that's scary, but that's the case. And at that time, they'll have the martial law fully in place and the FEMA camps ready to go for those people. That's what the FEMA camps are all about. They're for people who are going to seek salvation because they didn't get prepared, because they weren't ready for that. And they thought that everything was fine and dandy and that Big Daddy government would save them.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see people revolt and people start to take notice of what's going on if and only when they're hungry. And, well, I don't think it's a matter of if. I think it's a matter of when, unfortunately.
Yeah, me too. I don't see an awake population. I don't. I want to say that I do to help give people out there a little bit of faith, a little bit of hope, but I'm not going to lie. When I look around any public area, everybody's in their phones, they're on their Facebook, they're checking out sports games, they're drinking their aspartame sodas, and they're eating their GMO foods, and I just sometimes I look around and I do get discouraged. Because I go, is there any hope? Because you hear people's conversations, and they're as shallow as can be about some reality TV show, and I go, wow, you know. And then you look up at the sky, you can plainly see these clouds of aluminum and barium coming over you, and eventually that's going to come down on us. And these people are not even close to thinking about that. And that probably is what it's going to take. Is people super desperate? Because right now they got us pretty comfortable with all the fluff in the world. It seems to me they just got everybody really, really tied up in their little worlds that they will not look at the big zoom out and look at any sort of big picture or connect any dots. It's a real sad thing to think that it has to come down to hunger and desperate times. It is.
Yeah, well, enough of that, Loomis. Let's talk about Miley Cyrus and her new video. Great stuff, right? I mean,
Chicago Bears, they're playing.
How the Bears doing?
Oh, they're doing good, and there's a lot of good programming on TV.
They call it that, right? Programming?
Yeah, we can watch so many channels. It's just, forget about it. Let's talk about that stuff. That's great.
Well, you know, I have to admit, I don't have a television, but I got
either.
Duped into watching online the show Revolution. Have you heard of it by chance, Loomis? You're too busy. Probably not.
No, TV is not part of my world, thankfully, but sometimes I do miss out on a few nuggets, I guess, huh?
Well, it's you're not missing out, but
okay.
as an experiment, as a look on what they're injecting into the consciousness of the masses, I started to watch this because the premise was very interesting to me. And the premise was essentially a post-collapse of the grid world where, you know, they showed what things would look like if the grid went down and never came back up. And I've often thought of that as a real possibility, still do. And within this show, when I got duped into watching more episodes than I'd like to admit, because it's filled with violence and all sorts of other fluff and stupidness.
Yeah.
But within this show, there are all sorts of little references that sometimes I wonder if I'm the only one who gets it. In other words, there's false flags. They show the dialectic of a false flag. There's symbolism. There's drone strikes. There's all these various aspects of the show, and it's a mainstream show on NBC. There's all these little aspects that I wonder if they must do this on purpose. And on top of that, I wonder if the average person out there sees this, or if because I'm looking at it with the They Live sunglasses on, I'm the only one who gets this and sees this. It's pretty darn astonishing that they're putting this stuff right in front of people's faces, embedded in the programming, literally the programming. And it's not necessarily predictive programming, although I acknowledge that exists, and we've seen many examples of that, especially with 9/11. But it's definitely an example of subliminal or straightforward acknowledgement of some of the themes that you and I might talk about as we're chanting it down. So they got the eye of the pyramid popping up, the Illuminati symbol and just for a second in their previews, and it's like, is anybody else noticing this? And are the creators of this show in on something? I mean, how the hell do they go about, you know, a lot of these, we often make the mistake of assuming that everyone in Hollywood is somehow in and involved with the cabal. And mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think most of these people, many of the actors and producers, are useful idiots. You know, they're just making money and, you know, living the life just like all the other people out there. They don't necessarily know. But you have to wonder when you see stuff like that, when you see, you know, the same could be said about Jay-Z and Rihanna and their ties to the Illuminati, right? Are they really in on it? Well, maybe not. Maybe in a sense they sold their soul. But who puts that symbolism in there? Who's directly responsible for that? And how high up does that go? It's an interesting question that I ask myself sometimes when I talk about Illuminati symbolism in pop culture.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of think that some of these people are sort of captive in their world, and they can't really express themselves. They know the truth, and sometimes they can put things like what you're talking about out so they can give people a little, that have some awareness. That's their way of, like, maybe, you know, shooting it out there. They can't do it on the obvious, so they might do it on the subliminal. Or then there's the other way of thinking it too. People like Freeman Fly, he talks about how, you know, a lot of them believe in magic, and you put it out there before they actually, you know, do it, and it's sort of part of their belief system that you know, they put out, like, before 9/11, they put out some things out there in some of the media and different little things you could pick up on. And it's like right before they cast their, you know, spell or whatever they believe in, that they kind of, like, put it out there. So at least they did that part. But, yeah, it is hard to say. I think about that sometimes, too. Like, is Steven Spielberg really in on it, or is he just a useful idiot? Or not even an idiot, I wouldn't say, but, you know, like, is he really in on it? Or are these people, like George Lucas, are they trying to give out a little bit of message, or where are they at, you know? It's a big mystery I think about sometimes, too. It's hard to say.
It is.
But they say Hollywood is controlled by the, you know, the holly stick. They're using ancient druidic magic. So there's no holly growing in Hollywood. I've looked around for that. So you gotta wonder, but programming, it is programming. It's television, tell you a vision, or tell lie vision, both.
I never heard that. Yeah. That's pretty good.
The tell lie vision.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to steal that.
Yeah, well, actually, I can't be responsible for that. That's KRS-One.
Right,
KRS-One.
There you go.
Yeah,
we got some conscious members of all these groups that show you that it's not all co-opted. Professor Griff was on Coast to Coast the other night with John Wells, who I'll be making an appearance with next month. And Professor Griff did a great job of exposing what he knows, and he's written several books on it now, I believe, which is fascinating. So, you know, you can't assume that just because somebody's successful that somebody's gone places that they're necessarily involved. And then we have seen several examples of some of these folks coming out, speaking out, and being under attack as a result. I believe Charlie Sheen might be an example of that.
Right.
Perhaps he was electrically, you know, harassed and whatnot. I don't know if there's any evidence for that, but it was fairly bizarre that shortly after we started hearing him be more and more vocal about 9/11, he had all these psychotic episodes that everybody made fun of and trivialized mm-hmm. who Charlie Sheen was to the American public. And then we haven't heard much from him about the truth. So it makes you wonder. It really does. And many of these public figures can come out and say, hey, look, you know, I got powerful things to tell you about my inside knowledge of what's going on, and I'll never commit suicide. I'll never do it. And if anything happens to me, you'll know something's up. Well, in the case of the D.C. madam, that didn't stop the powers that shouldn't be from suiciding her, unfortunately.
Right.
So,
Or then there's, what's that politician's name? Kucinich. He put in some bill. He actually put in the word chemtrails in some of his, one kind of bill he was trying to pass against chemtrails and spraying and stuff. And suddenly, like, his sister died and somebody else died. I don't keep up on politicians, obviously, but, you know, yeah, so he stopped talking about all that. You know, they hushed him up. You know, people commit career suicide, too, seems like, you know, like Charlie Sheen when they speak the truth. So they have to think about their survival, unfortunately, too, because they, too, have to live off this money system, this slavery system, even if they have more of it, more of those reserve notes than we do. They still have to think about their survival. So it's a tough position that probably a lot of them are in that do know the truth. It's a crazy world out there. Absolutely. Yeah. So do you still are you still gardening, Bob Tuscan?
Well, with the baby, it's been tough. I planted another seed that is blossoming that I've been paying more attention to.
Yeah.
I've had only a small garden this past year, to be honest. I wish there was a better answer than that, but there's not. I had some watermelons that kind of died off in the heat here in Florida. I was a little bummed out about that. We got some eggplant. See, here where I live in Florida, Loomis, during this time of year when it gets real hot or towards the end of the summer, it's just hard to grow anything. It's too hot. Which is kind of the opposite of what many people face up north when it's too cold to grow something.
It's
something that when, you know, you need to be self-sufficient and you can't rely on the store, it's something you'll have to account for, and something you'll have to deal with. And it's something that troubles me, that I need to get my act together more so. So even though I talk about these things, that, hey, I'm not perfect. I'm still trying and I'm still struggling in this Babylon system like the next guy.
Right.
And I do what I can. Gardening is very important in general. It's an example of a very, very powerful solution that when shit hits the fan and you have no access to food coming in from thousands of miles away on trucks, you're going to have to take a stance and step up. And you don't have to have a lot of land to do so. I mean, there are so many lawns that people have that go to waste that they ought to use. And
right.
They could very much utilize their lawn as you know, a powerful place for a food garden. But they don't. And then on top of that, even if you don't have a lawn, you can grow in containers to a smaller scale, and you can also kitchen garden. So if all else fails and all you have is your kitchen, well, there's live food right in your kitchen that you can grow. You say, what do you mean, Bob? I don't want to bring dirt in my kitchen. What are you talking about? No, you don't have to bring dirt. It's called sprouting. Ever hear of it? Sprouting. It's a powerful way to be able to produce live food even when you're locked up in your bunker, so to speak. That's something that I've practiced on and off is sprouting. So there's all sorts of ways to help yourself get ready for whatever comes down the road here. Loomis, I don't know if you heard, but there's going to be a protest of truckers. I don't know the exact dates here. I think it's in October, if I'm not mistaken. And a group of truckers are going to stop their routes in protest, and they're going to head to Washington, D.C., and there's talk that might supply an interruption. And where you are, Loomis, on an island, it's definitely something very scary to consider. You know, there you have to, you know, really account for things because you're on an island, literally.
Right.
On an island. And if something interrupts the transportation system, you know, luckily Hawaii is a pretty beautiful island with lots of tropical fruit and whatnot, but still, it's something that you have to consider and make sure, you know, water's a big piece of the puzzle that people have to think about. We live in a world of Agenda 21 where collecting rainwater is illegal, and then on top of that, the rainwater's heavily contaminated, unfortunately, with the Fukushima fallout. On top of the other fallout from the chemtrails in our rainwater.
Yeah.
So it's scary, man. It's scary to think about being self-sufficient, especially when so many people are dependent on the system.
For sure. And well, here in Hawaii, I take it extra serious because 89% of our goods are imported to this island. This island has a lot of people, 1.5 million people on it total with the military, buddy. And you think about it and you look how the land's being used, it wouldn't be a good scenario. And I really like to give solutions and try as much as I can. That's what I really appreciate about your show, is you're always looking for solutions, and that's so important in this day. Myself, I'm trying a garden, but yeah, some things aren't growing so good. I don't know if it's the fallout from all this or what it is. It could be hot here too. I can't figure it out.
You know, it's a matter of practice, you know,
right.
And you learn. If certain people think that they can buy a bunch of seeds, and then when they have to, when the shit hits the fan and they're required to start growing a garden, and then everything will just be peachy, they got another thing coming. I've practiced gardening now for years and years and years, and every year I see another point of weakness, or I learn something else, or I see how something's not really working, or so on and so forth. So it's tough, man. It's tough. It's not a complete, easy, perfect science to just jump on board with. And we learn that when we do practice, and that's why people ought to start practicing now.
Right. And I like to live how the garden and grow how the indigenous people lived in any area I live in, because they did know how to live off the land all year round. Here in Hawaii, we don't really have a lot of season change at all, really. But, you know, some places, you know, you had tribes that, you know, they would grow certain things certain time of year, or they would be nomadic and they would move to another location where the food was growing and all that, too. So it's always, I like to take that in consideration at times, you know, like what does grow this time of year. Like right now you can get star fruits off the trees. You can't get that, and mangoes now are done, or, you know, things like that. But I like to study the lives of the original peoples in every land. I think it's a good tool to use when gardening also, just to kind of know that, oh yeah, beets don't really grow here because it's too hot or whatever, and it kind of is it's a learning process anyway, gardening and growing and working with plants, but it's a knowledge that's been stripped away from the general masses since all of our food is trucked in and we go to the store to buy food, to make food. It's all backwards, very backwards.
Sure, but where do carrots come from? They come from trees, right? You know, where does your meat come from? Well, it comes from a container in the store, doesn't it? That's what most people's knowledge is, unfortunately, of their food. They don't know where it comes from. They don't know the process involved. They don't know the factors. And it's, as a result, leaving us heavily vulnerable to a complete collapse and a scary one.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you say to, you know, people that say covering this information is negative? I get this a lot. When I tell people about the truth, they think I'm being negative. They think that I'm bringing them down, and I'm negative because I'm always focusing on the negative. And, you know, what do you say to people that give you that response?
And I've gotten the same sort of thing from people. I've had people tell me that about the same amount of words, and, you know, what I can tell them is, you know, things aren't always easy, things aren't always fun and, you know, happy and lucky, but that's a big part of the New Age movement. The idea that everything, you know, is okay as long as you think positively and don't focus on the negative, that everything's going to be okay. And my colleague and good friend Mark Passio does a great job debunking that in his presentation that he gave alongside myself and other great speakers at the Free Your Mind conference most recently in April. It's called New Age Bullshit. And he points out that the idea that, you know, this Pollyannish attitude that you don't have to pay attention to what's going on, and that if you think negatively, somehow that perpetuates the negative, is naive at best. And the point that I like to make is, okay, so you have a dark room, Loomis. And I took this from Sai Baba. I quoted him at my first talk at the Free Reliant Conference. You have a dark room, and you shine the light bright. Well, when you shine that light in that dark room, you'll start to notice things that you might not have seen before. So it's unfortunate and nasty that you have to see the roaches scatter and some of the dirt in the corner that you missed and all the things that you might not have seen before the room was illuminated. And that's the process of illuminating. But once you see them, you can clear the space. You can get rid of them. And, you know, I also tell these people that have this attitude. I said, okay, well, let me ask you this. You're in the woods, and maybe I should do it for Hawaii's sake. Like you're in the ocean, and a shark comes up to you. I usually use a bear as an example, but let's change it up for Hawaii, okay? You're in the ocean, and this is a good example because everybody's brainwashed to be deathly afraid of sharks.
Correct.
Not saying you shouldn't be afraid of them, but anyway, I digress. So you're in the ocean, and a shark comes up to you, a great white shark. You say, oh, come here, little fishy, let me pet you, come here. Or do you swim for your life and nail the shark as hard as you can with a bat or whatever? Well, you're not swimming with a bat. But the point is, if a bear comes at you in the woods, you say, oh, come here, little bear, let me pet you. Or do you take that bear out with a powerful shotgun to the face? The answer is you take it out. If it's threatening you, you know,
mm-hmm.
The idea that you can just pet it and kiss it to death is a complete naive one. And if you don't do that, then you'll be taken out, and you'll be bear meat or shark meat. So that's what I tell people who have that attitude. Says, listen, you're under attack by a bear. You're just going to sit there and choose to not think about it because it's negative? Well, if so, you're bear food, buddy. I'm sorry. If that's negative or not. And in fact, ultimately, we are the most positive of thinkers because of our ability to deal with these things and desire to air out the dirty laundry. That's a positive thing in my eyes and should be in theirs, but they've been brainwashed and skewed.
Right. Yeah. Going back to what you said about the New Age bullshit. I listened to Mark Passio's talk on that, and I had a lot of laughs just because I know those people. You know, I see those people in the health food stores, and I'm not one of those people, but I just look around and I just hear their conversations, and I talk to those people, and yeah, it is a we chant that down pretty hard on this show too. Because it's like, these are the people that could know the truth. I mean, they know the truth about, like, food, it seems to me, a lot of them, and health a bit, but they don't want to focus on the bigger picture. And I find those people some of the biggest gatekeepers out there, almost over, like, the crowd that's watching football right now and drinking beer all day, only because they know some knowledge and they have some consciousness, but they're not getting the big picture. And And they're actually the ones that are going to tell you the most that you're negative. And I really get irritated with that. This is a little personal rant there, but I do. I just...
You're absolutely right. Yep.
You know, I don't know. Like, these people, I think a lot of them are well-to-do, and they have a lot of invested in this kind of life. So they're trying to live this utopia in this crazy world that they don't even have a connection to the fact that their iPhone was made by slave labor or any of these other things. They just live their little bubble, and if you penetrate it with, like, hey, look up in the sky, they're spraying the sky, they just, oh, that's just jet trails, don't worry about it. You know, that kind of attitude is just, it's actually the worst one out there to me, almost. I almost just get pretty angry.
What is the little piece in one of your songs that you have? There's a great example of that, and you do on one of your songs that you sent me.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The chemtrail,
you know what I'm talking
song
about?
I have. Yeah, yeah. I did a little skit at the end there where I was pointing it out to somebody, and this is really based on something kind of real. And the guy was like, "Oh no, that's just jet trails. They wouldn't do that."
What's the name of the song?
Whiteout.
Hold on.
Yeah, it's a single on its own. I never put it on any albums or anything, but I do put it out. I give it out to people sometimes. I'll send you a new one. It's the same as you can send me that link about the wine rinse not being good. I'd like to know more about that too. That'd be good because we're always learning and growing, and you know, knowledge given to you you can't always just, you know, think that's the truth, because you got to keep changing. That's how I know people are seeking the truth, is when they are ever changing and flowing with the new information they're getting and integrating it. You know, that's important to me, and I try to do the same. So you know, even if I've put it out on this show as a solution, I like to know more also. That's good. That's good. Even if it's humbling, you know, we all are. We're never all right. This is a lot of guesswork we have to do anyway, as slaves at the bottom of the system, looking up at what these big elite are doing to us. They're not telling us straight up all the time. So we do have to. There's a learning curve. Yep.
I found it.
You found it. That's it. That's it.
I should skip to the part where they. Right. Where they play the little outro there. I love that. It's hilarious.
Hold on.
I'm going to allow this to derail my interview here for a second, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. No
this
worries.
This is good stuff. I love it. Loomis is very talented, folks. Listen to this.
Because I speak the truth, I'm able to just lie. If you live this lie, then you're okay. These great divine chemtrails. So this is a call.
I mean, if they were going to do it.
Been doing this since about 9.
And who would do that anyway? Nobody would do that to us.
Well, actually, buddy, yeah, I think quite a few people would. And to be exact, they've been doing this since about 96. It involves weather modification, geoengineering, mind control, Borgella fibers connected to the heart facility.
Oh, no. Our government wouldn't do that. I mean, if they were going to do it, they would tell us about it. It'd be on the news.
It'd be on the news.
Think about these people that like rule the world from way above. No, that's just too hidden for me. I'm getting out of here. No way.
No, you asked. You asked about that.
Perfect, dude. And that laugh.
Yeah, that's it. That's my interpretation of the New Age people right there. I think that's who I had in mind in particular. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an attitude out there, and I get it from my own loved ones. You know, I get it from people who I want to wake up the most, because I love them and I want them to be, on the same page. And they give me, you know, a lot of, it's funny, like family and close friends even give you that sort of resistance. And they'll tell you, oh, you're just being negative. Just go live your life. You know, you're stopping yourself from living your life. That's what I've been told before. I'm like, no, I'm not, actually. I'm living life also. I don't know.
Well,
it's a,
we get it especially from our family and friends.
Yeah.
Especially from them, because it's tainted when we say something to them in a way in which, you know, they just don't get it. So, because it's you. It's your loved one. So they have a different perspective on what you have to say. You're already skewed in their minds.
Correct, and they have a preconceived notion of who they think you are, and they don't always acknowledge your growth
right.
or anything. Yeah, it's a hard thing, but I guess in time, you know, I guess that's what we all of us awake folks do have for us, is time will tell the truth, and people will start to realize that these kooks they've been calling us for years are actually right, and you know that they're plugged into this matrix so much that they never had time to step out and take a look, and it's pretty obvious once you take a look. And I actually, that's one of the reasons, besides the truth that has come to me about it with geoengineering and all that, it's one of the reasons I focus on it kind of hard, because it's in your face. It's so easy. You can just look up and take a look at the sky, and you can actually tell somebody about it versus, you know, you can try to tell someone about even 9/11, and there is a lot of obvious clues, but it's just even easier, I think, to just go, look, watch this cloud, watch this jet trail turn into a cloud, and tell me, you know, how natural that is. And some people, they get it, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's one of the biggest, the best gateways to this reality. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think it is. I really do, and I think your assessment's spot on, Loomis.
Yeah, thanks. I just... my computer froze up. I just feel like it's like, what could be more important than the air and the plants and our land base and, you know, things around us that are the natural. I mean, and that's being destroyed. Then I mean, I don't know what else is. I just don't. So I figure that's one way to wake people up. And I feel that's our job, is to wake people up. I mean, I can't see anything else. I want to give, you know, lots of love out to the people too, and positive vibration. But like you were saying, this is positive what we're doing. We are being positive. We're warning people of a storm, and it's a hard position at the moment. Sometimes, you know, you kind of feel alone at times. At least here in Hawaii, we don't have a whole lot of awake people. I don't know how it is over there where you live.
Well, it's funny because yesterday. Literally yesterday, I called into this local radio show called The Swap Shop. And the premise of the show is for people to call in and list on the air things that they either have that they want to sell. It's outdated now because of Craigslist, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it's essentially Craigslist on the radio. Okay?
Oh, okay.
And so people call in and say, hey, this is JR from Ocala, and I got these wheelbarrows that I'm trying to get rid of for $20. Call me up. Here's my phone number, blah, blah, blah. So I got the bright idea to call up and do it Bob Tuscan style. So I called and I said, hi, this is Bob Tuscan. I have free DVDs for people if they would like them. I have a DVD on fluoride and the dangers of fluoride and blah, 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 blah. I have a DVD called Why in the World Are They Spraying by Michael Murphy. Takes a look at the geoengineering operation, blah, 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 blah. I have a DVD on the Fractional Reserve Banking System, blah, 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 blah. I got a DVD on 9/11, blah, 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 blah. And I went off for probably 5 minutes or so. But all the DVDs that I have, I'm doing air quotes here, because I didn't actually have the DVDs. And I didn't actually think people would take me up on the offer. And at the end of my call, I gave out my email address in amazement that the host actually let me go that long. I was kind of shocked. He let me rant on about these DVDs that are all about crazy conspiracies. But he did. He let me go on about my free DVDs that I had for people if they wanted them. And, you know, I figured if somebody actually wanted it, I'd get them some DVDs. You know, no big deal, right? So I gave out my email address. How many emails do you think I got?
I have no idea. None?
I was thinking I'd get none. But I got one email.
Okay.
And it was from a guy about an hour south of me who was already awake and was so happy to hear a voice of sanity on the radio that he emailed me. And I got on the phone with him, and he put his number in the email because he just wanted to talk to somebody nearby that gets this stuff, because there's so few and far between. At least it seems that way. You know, on the line, on internet, with the radio shows we do, we have a community that taps into a larger base. Therefore, there's more and more people that get this, and it's growing exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
I look back at when I first started to get into these things, and, geez, hardly anybody, even online, was getting it. Now it's almost like it's, you know, everybody knows about that online. Everybody who's anybody knows about this stuff. But locally, you don't have access to those people. I guess they're hiding, or you don't know. They don't wear signs on the back that says, hey, I'm awake to this stuff, or I'm, you know, interested in this. So you don't know who's who. We ought to. We ought to start having a label, you know, a tattoo. No, that's a bad joke. But if we don't do it, the powers that should be might do it at some point.
Right, right.
You know, there's speculation. I know that sounds scary, but there's speculation that if you have a red dot on your mailbox, you're labeled a dissident. And I went ahead and put the red dot on my mailbox for them, you know, proudly. Who knows if there's any truth to that story. But the long story short about this radio show I called in, I got on the phone with this guy, and he was awesome. Awesome guy. Was so awake. He knew all about smart meters, knew about this, knew about that. And we spoke for like 40 minutes, and it was just nice to have that human connection with somebody locally who got what was going on. And that's hard to do. And if you're in a big area, it might be a little bit easier. But for us, in certain areas of the country where, you know, there's no obvious meetup, both literally and figuratively, it's sometimes discouraging. And we've had here locally, for instance, the same three or four people involved with 9/11 Truth in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Three or four people. Now, there's been others that have come and gone, but none to the extent that the core group has had. That's also very discouraging. So, again, back to the folks out there that you deem to be even worse off than the ignorant masses, those people who wake up to this stuff and then, for whatever reason, take an apathetic attitude and don't do anything and keep their mouths shut. That's scary. And I don't know how they could do it. I don't know how they can do it. For me, it's like, geez, I'm a big mouth. If I see this stuff, if I see my neighbor's house on fire, I'm going to tell everybody I know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my nature. So I don't know how these people can wake up to all these various elements of nastiness in our world today and then keep their mouths shut. I don't know how they can do it. I would go crazy.
I don't know either. I don't either. I don't understand. That's a question I think I asked was Michael Murphy when I had him on a few weeks ago. We were talking. He was like, how is it like the people that get this information, they go, I told somebody, oh, have you seen Why in the World Are They Spraying? And like, oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw some information about that. People just can feel it. They don't really, like, they heard about it, but that's it. I'm just going to go back to life. I mean, that's the worst right there. When people don't get fired up like you and I mean, what does it take people to get to the level of where, or at least what we're doing or more, or to one degree or the other? I don't understand. Like, is it what the programming just didn't work for you and I, and we didn't get enough fluoride in our system or watch enough TV or what? I have no idea, but it's just incredible to me that someone can actually know this information and not want to do anything about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, I don't know. But it is the world. It is what it is. It's the world we live in. Good, bad, and I had a good guest on here a while back was talking about, you know, embracing the dark. We need to embrace the darkness and the light both and not get caught up in one side or the other too much. And I agree with that. I agree that, you know, we have to embrace life to the fullest and, you know, accept some things. But we don't need to accept that we're being poisoned every day, and it shouldn't be accepted at all. Not in the least bit. Oh, you know, I don't know if my show clock is right or not because it keeps freezing up, but I believe I got about five minutes left here in the show, Bob. Did you have anything you'd like to share, any solutions, any closing thoughts here on the show?
No, not necessarily. My show's back on 5 days a week now for 3 hours a day, so I get a lot of airtime, you know, ranting and inventing and exploring solutions. So, but yeah, I'm glad to connect with you. We'll have to have you back on my show. And it goes by fast here. We've been speaking for 50 minutes now, and it feels like we just got into this stuff. We really could go on and on and on about so many different aspects of our world today. I was spitting a verse on the cell phone to you when we talked before the show.
Uh-huh.
I wrote this verse. And I'm not the greatest lyricist, nowhere near the Loomis level. But me and Payday Monsanto took the lyrics that I wrote and we put it to a little beat, and we titled it Gardens of Babylon.
Gardens, I like that name.
Babylon. Yeah, and can I play it for you? It's real short. I'll play it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, please. If it
all
sounds
right, let's
good.
Let's chant it down.
Let's chant that down, fullest degree.
All right. Here we go. Hold on a second. I have some tab making that noise. What the heck was that?
I like how it sounded.
That was not part of the music. All right, let's back it up, all right?
Check it up again.
Here we go. Chanting it down with Loomis.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Thank you, my friend. That's awesome. I wish I could have heard it a little bit better, but sounds awesome. Maybe you should send me that if you can. I'd like to hear that in better sound quality. That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, the lyrics are basically this. You have to learn to grow your own garden before you go on fighting. And you have to seek solution, and the wicked man will be losing. Babylon no longer choosing. I rip right through their illusion. Caught up in a system where if you're only losing, you really think complaining is going to bring solution.
I like that. That's simple. I like that. It's what needs to be said. That's awesome, bro. Appreciate the lyricism. And you and who? Payday Monsanto? Is that correct?
Yeah, Payday helped me put that to a, you know, a beat and whatnot. And I wrote the lyrics. And, you know, I'd like to make a full song one of these days if I get around to doing it, because I see the value of music being a great tool to help relay certain themes that need to be relayed, and that's why I appreciate guys like yourself who have a knack for doing so.
Well, yeah, thank you. I don't have a producer really, so I just I'm stalled. But yeah, you know, I do as much as I can too, and it feels good to, especially in a live performance, just give out a verse that just chants it down, and people, they really do feel it, and I guess it feels more 3D than doing on the radio. It's something I haven't been doing in years, but I'm gonna try to get back into a stage show, and I think it's good for you too, you know, and get on some stage stuff if you can, and maybe we should throw a verse together sometime.
I'd like that, brother.
All right, that'd be good. Well, bro, we'll have to have you back on the show. It looks like if my show clock's right, I got like a minute left. And the outro music should be coming on soon. But yeah, we'll have to have you back on and chant down some more. This is just the beginning.
All right, Loomis, all the best to you and your family, brother, and thanks again for having me.
Thank you for coming on, bro. Appreciate it, and keep chanting it down like you do. I'll have to tune into your show again soon.
Yeah, don't let me forget to hook you up with that login info for the archive stuff.
Yep. And the show is the Bob Tuscan Show on RBN. Is that correct?
Yeah, just check out the website, bobtuscan.com.
All right, brother. Well, keep in touch and keep it chanting it down, bro.
Get farther, mountain streams and warm ocean water found relief. My- my focus is stronger. Boundaries are broken in progress. How you think depends on how caught up. Doubt your dreams defeat your high calling. Boundaries high within the green forest. Now it's time for us to move toward it. Out right here, you know you get farther. People beyond.
Are you awake now? Are you awake now?
Wake up!
Wake up! Wake up! Are you awake now? Are you awake now?